Good evening, and welcome back to 30 Letters in 30 Days. We're on our fifth letter of our journey, our 30-day journey. And we're working through Chelek Yud Ches, Volume 18 of Igros Kodesh. We're going through, not reading every single letter, but we're going through in order. We're skipping some letters, but we're going in the order of the Sefer, so, which is chronological. The whole Igros is chronological. So we started at Erev Rosh Hashanah, now we're on Chof Hei Tishrei. I'll start. Baruch Hashem, Chof Hei Tishrei, Tov Shin Yud Tes, Brooklyn, New York. By the grace of God, the 25th day of the month of Tishrei, 5719, meaning the last few months of 1958, Brooklyn, New York. And here is a name. Sometimes Igros are redacted not to have the name for privacy reasons. Here is a name, and it's actually the name of somebody quite famous. Hanichbod v'hanayle, the prestigious and the esteemed Ish Eshkolos. Ish Eshkolos means a Renaissance man, a multi-talented person, a person of many, many talents, not just a jack of all trades, master of none, but to the contrary, somebody who is a deep master in many, many areas. So it's a big compliment. Umadoyim, somebody who's a master of many scientific fields. Ish Yerei Alekim, a God-fearing man. V'chulu, v'chulu, etc., etc., meaning there's surely more praise to be added. Merenu Harav, our teacher, Eliezer Aryeh Halevi Sheyichya. Eliezer Aryeh Halevi, may he be well, may he live. Hamachuna, who is perhaps better known as Dr. Finkelstein. So who is Eliezer Aryeh Halevi Sheyichya Hamachuna Dr. Finkelstein? It is Louis Finkelstein, a very, very famous figure in modern Jewish life. He was born in Cincinnati in 1895, and as a child, he and his family relocated to New York. And New York is where he lived most of his life. He was a student of the Jewish Theological Seminary, JTS, and later he became actually the chancellor of JTS, which is a seminary of the conservative movement. And he was actually chancellor from 1940 until 1972. So during those are the years during which this letter was written. This letter was 1958. So Dr. Finkelstein was chancellor of JTS at the time. And he lived until 1991. He lived quite a long life. I think 96 years old at his passing. So a well-known figure, an important figure. And in the letter, the Rebbe actually references quite clearly that part of the motivation of the Rebbe's letter is Dr. Finkelstein's incredible influence. Okay, let's read. Hinei nimasher b'tshuaschein kabbalas michtovei miyud zayin be'elul. I hereby acknowledge gratefully with thanks receipt of your letter from Yud Zayin Elul, from the 17th of Elul, meaning about 3 weeks earlier. V'chein hasfarim, and also the books, shehoy lishloach bad hasifriya shali, the books that you started to send for my library. The library, the Rebbe's library, is a world-famous research library, a very large library. And it had all kinds of books. So the Rebbe thanks Dr. Finkelstein for sending some of his books. Dr. Finkelstein wrote over 100 books during his illustrious career. He had a habit of waking up at 4 a.m. every morning, and he would think and he would write before attending early morning prayer services at 7 a.m. So writing was part of his regular routine, and he was quite prolific. The Rebbe thanks him for sending the books. V'tikvasi, it's my hope, asher gam lahaba, that also in the future, yamtzi lonu hasfarim sheyetziu la'er mizman lizman, that you'll send us more of the books that you print periodically. Keep on sending. V'ito yaslicha al ichar ha'mainim ipnei ha'yomim ha'trudim shohoyu be'emtza. I ask for your forgiveness for the delay in my response that was due to the busyness of the days that have been happening in between my receipt of your letter and my response. In other words, it was Tishrei, it was the high holidays, and that's something that Dr. Finkelstein would certainly recognize and appreciate. And you see that this letter is written in Hebrew, and not just in Hebrew, but in a rabbinic Hebrew. Although he was born, like I said, in Cincinnati, and he grew up in New York, so you would think, why not write to him in English? Well, because he was a tremendous scholar, tremendous rabbinic scholar, and would have been quite at ease with this type of rabbinic Hebrew, and probably would appreciate it being written this way. In fact, we don't see the letter he wrote to the Rebbe, but I'm assuming he wrote to the Rebbe in similar rabbinic Hebrew. And that would make sense for somebody who was of the level of scholarship. Okay, so now the Rebbe begins to get into the... And we're going to find out as we progress that this is actually the first time the Rebbe is writing to Finkelstein. And it seems like Finkelstein initiated the correspondence and then the Rebbe responded, but this is the first back and forth that they're having. So the Rebbe says, Yesh temeim l'maymer chazal Rebbe mechabed eshirim. There are those who wonder about the saying of our sages. It says in the Talmud, in Erevin, that Rebbe Yehuda Anasi, the redactor of the Mishnah, a great scholar and leader of the Jewish people in the Mishnaic period, that he used to honor wealthy people. So many people wonder about that. What's up with that? Why did Yehuda Hanasi honor wealthy people? And I want to point out that this line and the next few lines are very, very similar to a letter that the Rebbe wrote a couple of years before this letter, about 2.5 years before this letter. There's a famous letter of Yud Aleph Nissen, that's the Rebbe's birthday, Tovshin Tes Zayin, 1956, that the Rebbe wrote to the president, then president of Israel, Ben Tzvi. And it's a famous letter because there the Rebbe gives a rare glimpse into his personal life, and he tells Ben Tzvi why he will not use the official governmental title of Nasi, which is how the president of the state of Israel is referred. But the Rebbe says that term, Nasi, to use the more Ashkenazic pronunciation, has very specific meaning to me, the Rebbe says. A Nasi really describes the type of a leader that we will only truly have when Mashiach comes. And the Rebbe says, since I was a little child before I went to school, even before school age, preschool, I was already fantasizing of what the era of Mashiach would look like. And so the Rebbe explains, I hope you'll understand that for me, I have very specific visions and therefore of what the world will be like and needs to be like, and therefore these terms have very specific connotations to me, and I can't use them out of those contexts. I can't just use them in a secular context. It just I can't abide by that. So that's a famous letter for that reason. But in that letter, the Rebbe uses very similar, I won't say verbatim, but a few of these lines here about Rebbe Mechabed Ashirim, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi used to honor wealthy people, is very, very similar. And over there, it's being used in the same way. The Rebbe is explaining to Ben Tzvi, look, you're president of Israel. You're an influential guy. And I want to explain to you why I have interest in influential people. Okay, and that's similar to what the Rebbe is telling Louis Finkelstein, is that, look, you're a very influential guy. You're a leader of an entire movement of Judaism. You have many, many disciples. Your disciples have disciples. And yeah, I'm very interested in speaking to you because of that. And so basically the Rebbe is explaining. Now, what's the elephant in the room? The elephant in the room is obviously, you're talking about the leader of the conservative movement. So theologically speaking, there would be much to differ about, even in fundamental subjects. Although they say, those who knew him, that he himself actually was what we would call Orthodox, if we were to use the modern labels, and that he felt that he needed to go along with what he went along with as a concession in order to eventually get people back to traditional observance. Anyways, I don't want to speculate about those things. The fact of the matter is that he was the leader of a movement which, I'll state it gently and respectfully, that were one to seek a combative, standoffish way of engaging, there would certainly be much basis for that. But the Rebbe seems to set that aside. And in case, by the way, anyone's wondering about the fact that he sent his books to the Rebbe's library and the Rebbe thanked him for them, and you're wondering if that's a haskama, by the way, the Rebbe never gave a haskama, never gave a rabbinic approbation for books. But if you're wondering if that's somehow an implied approval of the content of the books, you should know that the Rebbe's library, the library at 770, the research library, the academic library, was and still is full of many kinds of books, not just the types of Sfarim that you would expect to find in a Beis Medrash. And the Rebbe spoke about this openly, that there are actually books of apocorsis there for the sake of research, that one needs to be able to check these books, like a member of the Sanhedrin would have to be versed in idolatry. So there were all kinds of books in the library. And what I'm saying is, it doesn't mean anything necessarily. Don't take it as an approbation, but the Rebbe was always interested in adding to the library. Okay, at any rate, so the Rebbe is telling Dr. Finkelstein, listen, I want you to know why I'm very interested in forming a relationship with you. That's basic. I'm using those words, but Rabbi Mechabed Ashirim, it's a well-known Maimer Chazal, and somebody like Finkelstein, who was, I don't know if he was a Bucky Bashas, but so he was probably within the range of that. He would have been quite familiar with a well-known Maimer Chazal such as that. Okay, so the Rebbe says, Uladidi Muvon Umavur, who al pi achas nekudas hayesodiyos shel shittas habal shem tov. According to my understanding, from my perspective, I think that this saying about Rebbe honoring rich people could be explained according to one of the foundational concepts of the Baal Shem Tov's approach. Asher kol inyan ba'olam va'afilo Koton shebektanim, that everything in the world, even something really, really small, hu bashgacha pratis, it is by divine providence. Okay, that's one of the foundational concepts of the Baal Shem Tov's teachings, that even tiny, trivial matters are bashert. They are overseen and orchestrated from on high. Ubefrat in yonim koilim hanoigim l'rabim, especially things that are general matters, meaning things that affect the public. Okay? So everything in the world is divine providence, especially things that are going to affect a lot of people, meaning even if little details that affect only one person are Ashgacha Pratis, so much more so things that affect the public. Ashirim, so rich people, Anoshim Asher, Hashgacha El Yena, Nosnum Yodam, Haimtsoim, Lifel Rabes, Toives, Beilamish, Halakadish Baruchu. The Rebbe defines rich people as people that divine providence has given the means to make a lot of, to have a lot of effect in Hashem's world. You know, money is one way of having an effect in the world. There are other ways as well. Would you rather be rich or would you rather be famous, right? Famous question. So, rich people are people that Hashgacha Pratis, that divine providence, has granted a means for having a big effect on the world. Bevadei, therefore, for sure, certainly, gam koiches nafsha masimim limilui tafkidze, the appropriate personality traits to fulfilling that potential, tafkid ha'ela al pikama al tafkide shel ish habeni va'al achas kama v'kama shel ish ha'oni. This is a mission that is, how should we say, it's greater, I don't know if I should say greater, but has much more of an effect than a regular person and how much more so than a poor person. So like, let's just be honest, rich people have more of an opportunity to affect the world than people who have less means. Just a fact. Okay. V'Rabbeinu HaKadosh, and the fact that they were given this means to affect the world, Bashgacha Pratis, they were given the qualities that are necessary in order to use out that potential. V'Rabbeinu HaKadosh Tkufasei Hoyse Tkufa Maver Bechai Am Yisrael Mechaim Shleivim Lefi Erech Lechaim Shel Gzeres Redifais. Rabbeinu HaKadosh was the leader of the Jewish people. It's very interesting the way that Rebbe describes this. He was the leader of the Jewish people during an era that was a transitional period from a period of relative peace to one of relative persecution, Roman persecution, of course, we're describing. Va'olav hoye legayes as kol hakoiches bichtei shiyameid am Yisrael b'nesoyin zeh. So it was his obligation as the leader to recruit and to galvanize all of the powers among the people that were necessary in order for the Jewish people to stand up to these tests of this difficult time. Vayetze shalim umachusan, that they should emerge unscathed from this difficult time. And obviously, one thinks when one reads this that the Rebbe may be also hinting to our time, to the modern era, a time of great upheaval and changes. So the Rebbe says, Rabbeinu HaKadosh was the leader during a time where a lot of stuff was happening and it wasn't all so necessarily good. And so therefore he had a special role as a leader to be aware of the resources, the talents, the abilities of various people in order that he could actively channel those abilities into strengthening the Jewish people during a very tumultuous time. V'lochein, therefore, he bia regish kovid klapi elu. He developed a certain appreciation of honor for those people. Shalamaila, that from above, nosnu lehem afshadius Yaseda, that were given an extra capability. And as we mentioned, rich people were given an extra ability to influence the world. Asher bavadei gam nutzla lohogin al kol HaKadosh B'Yisrael. And that for sure, those abilities to influence the world were given, at least in potential, to be used to protect all that is holy among the Jewish people. Kechol Shar Pu'ulis Rabbeinu HaKadosh. As befitting all of the activities of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Rabbeinu HaKadosh in general was doing whatever he could to strengthen the Jewish people and to protect the Jewish people. But specifically here, the Rebbe is saying, how do we explain this well-known saying that Rebbe honored rich people? Rebbe honored rich people because he understood that rich people have influence. If they have that influence, it was certainly chosen from on high to grant them this influence. So therefore, it's not just the influence. They also have certain inner potential to use that influence. And therefore, the role of the leader is to spot that and to appreciate it and to try to influence the influencers, to coin a phrase. Okay, so the Rebbe is explaining all of this as a way of introducing what he wants from Finkelstein. Okay. Ella, masim lanhoga klolis ba'elam. However, in keeping with the general way that the world works, asher l'chol echad mebnei Yisrael nitna b'chira chavshis. Jewish people were given free choice. Okay, we can do whatever we want to do. Hashem allows us to choose so that he can test us to see whether we will love Hashem and keep his mitzvahs and listen to his voice. Well, this free choice was also given to rich people. So when we say rich people were given extra means for influencing the world, and they were given extra inner potential for using those means to influence the world, it doesn't mean that they have to do it. It means they could do it, but they have free choice whether or not they're going to use it properly. Like it says, I'm giving you today, or placing in front of you today, the good, the life and the good, as well as the opposite. I'm giving you free choice. Kisiyum akosav, like the verse goes on, the Rebbe doesn't finish the verse because it has negative words in it. Uvachartu b'chayim, and therefore you should choose good. Oy chas v'sholom lehevich, or, God forbid, the opposite. Okay. Poshet asher im bashirim bezohav ubekesef hadvarim amurim. So it is obvious that if this applies to people who are wealthy in the sense that they have gold and silver, alach es kama v'kama, so how much more so? Ashirim b'keach hashpa ala sviva hakreva v'harecheika. People who are wealthy in the sense that they have the ability to influence their environment near and far. Okay, so now the Rebbe is saying it. Rebbe Mechabed Ashirim. Rebbe was a talent scout. Rebbe was always on the lookout for Jews who could do things that would benefit the Jewish people during a time of upheaval. Wealthy people were definitely on that list. And like we said, people have free choice whether or not they're going to live up to their potential, whether they're going to use it in the best way or not. So sometimes talent needs a little management, okay? They need a little encouragement to channel their talents the best way. And if this holds true with wealthy people, people who are wealthy in the monetary sense, how much more so people who are wealthy in the intangible sense, that they are influential people. So that I was getting to his point, basically, that you're an influential person, and you're on my radar, and I need to reach out to you. I need to try to make my pitch to you, basically, is what the Rebbe is saying. It'll become more clear as we continue. Okay. Umuvan gamkein, it's also understood, asher kevin shiyesh manhig labira zeh ho'elam ve'ein beidava lavatola. Since there is a leader of this world, meaning Hashem is running the world, and nothing in Hashem's world is superfluous. Nothing goes to waste. So, Muchroch Nitzul Po'il V'chiyuvi Shel Ho'esher, it is absolutely necessary that the wealthy person's potential be used, be actually capitalized in a positive way. In other words, lest you think the potentials are allowed to just remain unactualized and that that's okay. No, because if Hashem created anything, even a potential, this is such a deep concept, everything Hashem created is necessary. There's nothing superfluous. Everything has a purpose. Even a potential. Therefore, if a potential exists, it has to be actualized. In the Rebbe's worldview, it's not possible a person has an ability to do something good and he should just take a pass and not act on it. The world won't allow for it. Watch what the Rebbe says as we continue here. Ve'ein maspik klal uklal ze shaloi yishtamshu ba'esher b'kivin bilti ratzui. It is not sufficient that the person should use their potential in a way that is not desirable. The potential has to be actualized, and it has to be actualized in a positive way. Ki gam heder hanitzel mafreya seder abriya. That's a very powerful statement. Even the lack of actualizing a potential disrupts the natural order. It causes dysfunction in the world. You think the only way to damage the world, chas v'shalom, is to do something negative? No. Even, it's not just commission, but even omission. When you have a potential, a talent, whatever it may be, you're rich, you're famous, whatever it is, people listen to you, you have a big social media following, whatever it is, that's in 2023 terms. But if you have an ability, you can't just say, well, I'm not doing anything wrong with it. No. If there's a possible way of using it for good, it's disruptive to the entire world if those things don't get channeled positively. It causes dysfunction when those things don't come out the right way. And by the way, the Rebbe says it disrupts the whole world. I think it's probably pretty clear to us that in the microcosm of an individual, how disruptive it could be when a person has potential that they don't actualize. I think it was Maslow who said, Abraham Maslow, creative capacities clamor to be occupied. So that clamoring isn't necessarily a pleasant thing. If you don't use it, it's not going to just lie quietly in the corner and not cause trouble. You have to use it. Okay, for you and for the world. So it's disruptive to the whole world if you don't use it. Kevin Shinyana, Asher Kol Achalokim Shabbat Zrichim L'Sayei Ba'Eifin Po'il L'Tachlis Haklolis V'Achida. Everything, every purpose, every potential has to be used to assist, to facilitate the ultimate and one purpose of everything. Like, ultimately, everything has one purpose. And we know in the Rebbe's worldview what that is, very clear. It's strengthening the knowledge of God in the world and people's devotion to God. And that's it. So everything, money, talent, possessions, it all has to be channeled toward that. Ubetach lemeiser lahadgish shekavonosi letachlis hamitis shel amenu amalekei Avram haklal v'aprat. It is unnecessary, certainly unnecessary, for me to emphasize that my intent, when I speak about the ultimate true purpose of the Jewish people, both collectively, the people, and as well as specifically, meaning individuals, he chayim al pi teraseno teras chayim. I'm talking about living a Torah life, living according to the living Torah. Torah tmima bleep shares. A pure Torah without compromise. That is about as polemic as the Rebbe is going to get in this letter. Again, I said, if the Rebbe had chosen to, if another leader had chosen to, an Orthodox rabbi writing to the leader of the conservative movement, certainly they could have had a theological debate. The Rebbe does not engage at all in a theological debate. The Rebbe mentions here in this one sentence. What am I talking about? I'm talking about a life of Teiras Chaim, Teira Tmima Blipsharis, the pure Teira without compromise. Without compromise. Shegadlus HaTeira B'zeh, Shegadol Talmud Shemevi Lidei Maise. Whatever works in a second point here. And the greatness of Torah is, like our sages say, that great is Torah, meaning study of Torah, because it brings to action. There's a whole discussion in the Talmud, what's greater, study or action? So ultimately the conclusion is study is better, but why? Only because you need to study in order to do, and the most important thing is doing. So even by saying that study is greater than doing, it actually says that doing is the greatest, because studying brings to doing. So the Rebbe says, study that brings to doing, that means actual practical mitzvah observance, kiyum ha-mitzvahs b'poyol b'chaya yem yoyim, day-to-day practical mitzvah observance, shaleyan nemar v'chay bohem, regarding which the Torah says, and you shall live with them. The Rebbe is writing to a deep, deep intellectual, a scholar of the highest order. And the Rebbe is saying, bottom line, we need action. Practical mitzvah observance. So the Rebbe is telling Dr. Finkelstein, you are a rich man. Rich in terms of influence. Rebbe Mechabed Ashirim, I have to focus on my relationship with you because you have so much potential to increase, specifically, the Rebbe tells him what he's trying to get from him, that you have so much potential to increase the practical mitzvah observance of the people that you influence. And it's interesting, the Rebbe is not trying to have a debate here. The Rebbe is not telling him to, you know, close up shop and leave and go distance yourself from your current position. The Rebbe doesn't say any of that. The Rebbe just says, can you work in some more practical mitzvah observance? You know, could you get people to be a little bit more aware of that? Because I think they'll listen to you. Itoy haslicha, asher tekef b'mechtovi orishoin. So I apologize to you. I hope you'll forgive me that immediately in my very first letter, meaning this letter, my very first letter to you, and there are other letters in this Chelek of Yigris, by the way. Two or three more letters, just in Chelek Yud Ches of Yigris. So the Rebbe says, I hope you'll forgive me that right here, immediately in my first letter to you, it's like I didn't even like warm you up, you know, how's the wife and kids? I go straight into like the sales pitch. Hinini nageya b'nekuda yaseidizu. I'm already like touching upon this foundational point. This might perplex you. I'm hoping that in the coming lines, the letter is not finished yet, I could explain to you what my intention was, what I hoped would be the outcome. And there are several explanations, meaning the Rebbe is saying, it's not so like polite of me to just jump in and make demands of you and tell you, hey, I want you to influence your people to be more mindful of practical day-to-day mitzvah observance. So the Rebbe explains now, why am I like being so forthright with you? So blunt. Let's continue. Ho Aleph. So the first reason. Chayim onu betkufa haras meirois shlifnei eizes man hoyu begeder hanimnois. We are living in an era where there are events that only a short time ago would have been considered impossible. I don't know what the Rebbe is specifically referring to, but it sounds here good things, that the world is changing so rapidly. You know, think about technology and transportation and science and all the things that changed so rapidly in the first half of the 20th century. So the Rebbe is saying, look, things that were science fiction in our lifetime, you know, both the Rebbe and Finkelstein are from the same era. So the Rebbe is saying, look, things that in our lifetime were impossible, they were fantasy, they were science fiction, you see them happening now. V'cholam izbeinen afilo bezbeinen eskala raya al kol tzad v'shal in yonim shehem l'mayle mahasekel. So at every step, you see things that are totally like above intellect. Uman nemru divrei chazal. Uma nemnu divrei chazal al taflig l'chol davar. How true are the words of our sages? Don't discount anything. Don't reject anything. In other words, the Rebbe is saying like this. It's a crazy world, in a good way, in this context. Like, anything could happen. So don't discount anything. You're going to say to me, people aren't going to be receptive. It's not really a message that they'll listen to. The Rebbe is saying, in so many words, you know, crazier things have happened. So I'm pushing you to do it because, you know, maybe, just maybe it'll work out. Okay, v'habeis. The second reason I'm being so forthright with you. V'hi nekuda shemunasa muchletis umyusedis hi b'teiris hachsidis. This is a point whose truth is absolute, and it's based on the teachings of chsidis. Bebir hatoyer shekol echad miYisrael nikra mayin ganim ber mayim chayim. Chassidus explains why every Jew, without exception, is called a spring, like a spring of water for the gardens, a fountain, a wellspring of living waters. Shebeteva kol echad miYisrael tchunas nafshei. It is the nature of every Jew, and it is his deepest personality. Ki shemedabrim itay ben yonei teira mitzvahs b'mida. Maximlit, a little modern Hebrew word there. When you speak to him about Torah and mitzvahs in the maximum form, ein tzerich lechadish beidavar, you don't have to innovate anything new. In other words, you don't have to bring anything new to him in order that he should be able to hear this message. Ki bepnimiyusei harei gam hu maskim al zeh, because his insides already agree to this. You just have to remove the obstruction. And then he becomes a wellspring of the garden, a wellspring of living water. So, and this is so foundational to the Rebbe's worldview, that every Jew already is open to all aspects of Torah and mitzvahs. And if you find that they're not, there's just an obstruction that is foreign to them, and you just have to remove that obstruction, and you're going to find that deep down they're already receptive. Okay. Keberzu hanevas me'aleha. And it's like a wellspring specifically. A wellspring flows on its own. That's a very important point, metaphorically. It's not just, yeah, you could talk any Jew into ultimately embracing Torah mitzvahs. Well, talking him into it, that's you talking him into it. This is different. This is, you can get him to see it on his own, and then it's like a wellspring that flows on its own. It's not like it's being irrigated from somewhere else. It itself is generating its own water. Okay, so sometimes you might have to remove the obstruction that's blocking the wellspring from flowing, but once you do, the Jew who has found his faith, he's not going to be dependent on you to keep on, you know, pumping him up. It's coming from within him. Okay. Yeah. Va'al pi signei nazayer, and the Rebbe adds another detail. According to the expression of the Zayer, efsher li'ezeh b'shaita chado u'berigo chado, that this could occur, meaning getting this Jew to all of a sudden turn on to the fullest version of Torah mitzvahs, that could happen in an instant. So the Rebbe is saying, why am I bothering you, so to speak, to start pushing this message of practical day-to-day mitzvah observance to your crowd, which you're going to tell me is not the crowd for that? What are you talking about? They're Jews. And they are the crowd for that. And you never know. It could just, like that, it could happen in an instant that you'll get them flowing. There's another main point here. So this is our third point. Asher kevin shechunun mashkocho al yena bekeach hashpo. Since you, by divine providence, the Rebbe stresses it again, by divine providence, were graced with influence. Again, the Rebbe is emphasizing that you're an influential guy. Let's not pretend you're not. And, you know, I'll tell you, I was Googling around when I was researching for this class, and I have to admit that perhaps I personally did not appreciate the stature of Louis Finkelstein and the way that he was viewed. But I found an obituary from the Jewish Forward, the English Jewish Forward, that said, was written in, I think, what year did he pass away? What did we say? It was in 91. So it wasn't an obituary, but it was an article written a few years afterwards. And I don't remember who the author was, but he said that in just the past few years, the Jewish world lost its rabbi, its rav, and its rebbe. And then it went on to explain that the rabbi was Louis Finkelstein, and the rav was Yosef Ber Soloveitchik, and the Rebbe was the Lubavitcher Rebbe. They all passed away within a few years of each other in the early 90s. So you're talking about somebody from the perspective of American Jewry would be mentioned in the same breath with two of, I think, inarguably the most recognized Jewish leaders of that era. Okay, I'm just talking about pure recognition, reputation, somebody whose name would have weight and currency. And that seems to be what the Rebbe is clearly referencing here. He's saying your name means a lot. People listen to you. They respect you. Okay? So it's not a mistake. It didn't happen by accident. It's hashkocha pratis. Hashem chose to give you so much influence. And again, if the Rebbe wanted to, he could argue about, theology here. The Rebbe skips that whole thing. By the way, I'm over time already, but I'll just mention to you. There was a yechidus, Satmar Chosid, came to the Rebbe and said that they were asking in Williamsburg why the Rebbe was close to Shazar, the president of Israel, being that he wasn't observant and he was a Zionist. And so the Rebbe answered and said, and at the Satmar Rav's Tish, he had Ed Koch sitting next to him. So why is Shazar worse than Ed Koch? We all understand that, and it's interesting, the Rebbe said also, according to this person's report of the Yechidus, that they're also Jews and you should be makat of them. But the focus, what the Rebbe said, look, you're talking about influential people. And the Satmar Rav himself knows that when you're dealing with influential people, then you don't make a theological fight with somebody because of differences in your understanding of observance. Why would you be foolish to do that? You use the opportunity to make alliances with influential people. So at any rate, so the Rebbe is telling Finkelstein, look, you're a really influential guy, and that's hashkocha pratis. B'keich hashpa, yeah, you were given a keich hashpa, I said that. V'yesh lo misper choshev shel mushpoyim. And you have a considerable number of disciples. He was a rabbi's rabbi in the conservative movement. Shechelik mehem gam hei mashpiyim umanhigim b'chugim misuyomim. Many of your disciples themselves are highly influential people in certain circles. Obviously, not in all circles, but in certain circles. In their circles, they're very influential. Hine im hashuris hanal tviyano eza shinui bepoil. So if the few lines that I spent writing to you are going to make any change in you, listen to the Rebbe's thinking. Harezeh yispashit. This is going to spread out v'yuchpul, and it's going to double itself, pi kama, many times over, meaning it's going to be exponential growth al yedei mushpo'ov, through your people that you influence. In other words, it's going to go viral. So the Rebbe is explaining very clearly from Rebbe Mechabad Ashirim that Rebbeinu HaKadosh used to honor rich people, and he's explaining, look, I got to invest in you, because if I can have even a small effect on you, it's going to have a huge effect in the world, because you're a guy who has that type of influence. It'll be a ripple effect. And I think there's so much that we can learn in our day and age where the virality of messages is just so clear, and that influencing the influencers can make a message just catch on like wildfire. Yeah. I somewhat elaborated at length on these points. B'michtov klali l'Rosh Hashanah. In the general letter we spoke about before, that the Rebbe would write sometimes a letter to the entire Jewish people at certain times of the year. So in the Michtov Kloli that I wrote before Rosh Hashanah, I spoke about these points a little bit. Shehetik mimenu muskar pay, enclosed as a copy of that letter. V'tikvasi, it's my hope, shegam bezeh yimtza inyan. You're going to find this interesting. You're going to read the Michtov Kloli. You're going to like it. Bechoved uvevrocha, with esteem and with blessing. All right, went a little bit over time tonight. We're going to see you tomorrow night, Yemirtza Hashem, for a double class. Thursday night is Lecha Mishnah in preparation for Shabbos. We do two letters because we can't learn together Friday night, at least not the way that we normally learn, virtually using technology. So we do tomorrow night, we do Thursday night's letter and Friday night's letter together. And then we'll be back with one letter per class on Matzah Shabbos. Okay, so we'll see you tomorrow night, God willing.